Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Didn't you wait for the intro? What did I do?
Not you.
Oh.
By the way, Sheena, that did come through loud and clear what you said. So
it did I come believe.
stop barking, you ape, I want to say, but I couldn't make out the last word. Is that what she yelled?
You say stop barking, you what? What'd you say she was?
I don't know.
It came through loud and clear on the show. It says, stop barking, you something. Hey, I knew you didn't call Lily an ape.
It sounded it? Like that, but it's probably something else.
I said, stop barking. Oh, you ate.
Oh, you ate. Like, she you already ate.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I know. Because she's freaking dog's an endless pit, bro. Doesn't matter. She, like, forgets to eat.
Medical concern.
Oh, stop. Can you get her to stop barking? Thank you. Anyways, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
She's mad Blake's here under the portal. voice me a displeasure.
She's I think she's more mad that AJ Goida left and Eric Fernandez. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, it's crazy, man, because half the team has already entered the transfer portal, which we saw coming. We still probably want a couple more to leave. Not only that, we also got to commit, yep. Right? So really good, really good, solid player from a P4 school. So everybody doesn't freak out that we don't get guys from Sister Mary of the Blind over in Alaska, because everybody wants big names that recruit. I want to point this out because I was going on a rampage there for a second, okay, Vish, but. The funny thing to me is how everybody talks about we need to go get proven talent. We need to go get guys that are studs that are going to come in. We need the Tommy Whites of the world. We just, need to just go out there and destroy the transfer portal. And I agree to a certain degree. But let's just look at a team who just made the Super Regionals, okay? They had 13 transfers come in, and 9 of them were impact guys. 9 transfers were impact guys from the transfer portal that they picked up. I'm talking about UConn. University of Connecticut just ended up beating Oklahoma to advance to the Super Regionals, okay, with a team full of transfers, because that's – look, at the end of the day, Vince, that's what we need, right? We need a whole bunch of guys, and we need a brand-new team here, all right, to come in and compete. And it's going to happen. Obviously, we're starting to see it already. We're starting to see this mass exodus, but we're also starting to see some guys come in. And even though the guy that we got is from a P4 school, from a big time, university that, plays half decent baseball, most of the guys you might not even have heard of, right? Unless you're like a baseball aficionado and you follow, you know, Division II, Division III teams, you might get some of these guys. You might understand who they are. But at the end of the day, I've told you this, Vish, time and time again. Baseball is played really good everywhere. Yeah. You can find guys that are Division I prospects, Division I caliber players in D2s and D3s, sometimes because they can't get the grades, sometimes because they were discovered late. Sometimes it's a sophomore that's developed a little bit later, right? You can find those guys that have kind of outgrown that division already. Sometimes they stick around. They wait, you know, they play there for longer than maybe they should. But a lot of the times they get discovered. Perfect example is this UConn team. And I haven't told you the names yet because the average college baseball fan can tell me who Tommy White is. They can tell me who Chase Burns is. They can tell me who Hagan Smith is, right? You can tell me who those guys are. You can tell me Paul Skeens. Oh, yeah, he was a transfer from Navy or where Air Force or wherever he was, right? He was a catcher. Everybody knows the story of Paul Skeens. But can you tell me where Paul Tomorrow came from? Can you tell me where Jake Studley came from? Can you tell me where Gabe Van Emen came from? Can you tell me where Kieran Finnegan came from? No, of course you can't, right? Because half the teams don't know that Paul Tomorrow played for the State University of New York in Oswego. Who the hell is that, right? Lake Broadhurst played at Eastern Connecticut. The guy that I named earlier, Jake Studley, played at Wheaton, right? You're talking about Gabe Van Emen, played at Endicott, right? These are all kids that transferred to UConn, okay, and are now going to a super regional with UConn. So I don't really care where we get them from. So the Kings fan or that's talking about we need to go out and, oh, my God, you know, Notre Dame has three or four guys that transfer out. Go get all of those guys. Pitt, you know, has, whoever it is, Alabama, North Carolina has a guy. Yes, that's all well and good. But they can say, let's say the same for guys that are transferring out of Miami, right? The perfect example is a guy like Jason Torres. Oh, my God, let's go get Jason Torres. He's in the transfer portal now, you know, was on pace to hit. God knows how many home runs before he got hurt. Tore his UCL up. Let's go get that guy. Why? Why are we so honed in? I mean, he's leaving us a school that went 27-30 this year, if I'm not mistaken, something like that, right? I don't remember the final record. But there were games of below 500. Not everybody's going to pan out at other schools, right? We're so worried about going after guys in P4 conferences that there's so much talent out there, man. Baseball's a different animal. This is not college football. This is not it's Simeon Barrow or bust, right? It's, you know, David Martinez or, you know, who else is out there right now. This is like you've got three or four or five or 10 guys that play first base that hit 19 or 20 home runs last year, whether it was Division II or Division III or Division I, right, that are going to come in. They're going to have the same type of production, hit 350, hit 360, and drive in, you know, 60 runs. There's a lot of guys out there. And so I think what people need to realize that Miami is gonna go out there and they're going to search and they're going to dig up everything that they can possibly find and come in and try to recruit those kids, whether they're in D1 playing at Penn State, like Brandon Marsh, right? That's his name, Brandon Marsh. Or they're going to go out and get a Jake Studley from Eastern Connecticut Central University. I don't care. Go get the guys. Start winning some damn games. I think that whole concept, you know, or that whole mindset from a lot of the Canes fans is that we need to go get all these big time names that are leaving, that are going to the transfer portal now. No, yeah, you go get some of those guys because some of those guys, you know, one or two of those guys could really come in and make a big difference. But you got to fill that roster with guys that know how to play the game of baseball, and they're going to come in and they're going to be able to take you to those super regionals, take you to the College World Series again. And I just kind of wanted to point that out there before we kind of went into all the players that have already entered the transfer portal. I know there's some players that we are looking at already. But what's your take on everything that's going on in the transfer portal?
I mean, we saw it coming, so I don't think either of us is surprised. The season was awful. It was the worst team we've had since the 1957, I believe was the year, but 1950s for sure. And I mean, we were out at the light for quite a bit of it, and it was toxic. It sucked, and I could totally see it. And that's what we were both saying. Who wants to be a part of this right now? Like, who wants to come back to this? And the answer is most of these kids don't. And so we kind of knew this. And frankly, a lot of them, again, are major contributors to the worst team since 1957. Like, we don't want them back necessarily. So
right.
There's going to be a lot of work to do in the portal, like you said. We're going to need some impact freshmen as well. We always have a top recruiting class. It's a matter of whether you get them on campus or not. So we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, we need essentially, you know, starters across the board pretty much. We have Cuvée and that's it, really, that you're like, yes, that's a locked-in guy you for sure want to start. And the portal, obviously some of the guys might still enter the portal, but that's kind of it in terms of, like, yes, I'm – he's not the only one that's coming back, but he's the only one where you're kind of like, yes, he's definitely starting caliber. Every other position, even looking at it, if the guys came in, kind of like upgrade. So yeah, it's going to take a lot on the mound as well. We've been, you know, talking a lot about the fact that we basically don't have, you know, players to fill out the lineup card right now. We also had a shallow pitching rotation. It's unofficial yet, but we all expect Gabe Zeal and Rafe to go into the draft and get drafted. So we're likely rebuilding the entire rotation as well. So it's a lot of work to do. And to your point, people just got to be patient with it. It was a necessity, and it was going to happen when you have a season as bad as we did. So, and I understand what William Cruyff is saying, that, you know, Steer hurts. I mean, he got hurt, and this was, you know, he had some personal and nothing he did or anything. I'm assuming it's public what happened, but he had, you know, a family tragedy this year. And, you know, it's just been a horrible season for him. Then he immediately came back and got injured. I could totally see him, you know, I got to get out of here. I need a change of scenery. So it's understandable. Good luck to him, unless he transfers to FSU or UF. And, you know, same thing with Torres, like, those are probably the two guys that you saw under the portal, like, well, we could have used them back. But I think one thing that this year proved, though, and hopefully we all, to your point, we all understand this, you don't win baseball with a few guys. Like, even if you have the best hitter in history, they're going to come up once every three innings. You can't wait three innings to do production at the plate, right? And so we saw
Cuvée. And it's not always going to be your best player, right?
But that's why you need the complete team. That's why you need the 1-9. Because
last night with Alex Madera, who transferred from a small school, also came in.
Right, but the point is, those guys produced all year, and you know, we had several guys that had standouts. I mean, Cuvée set a bunch of freshman records.
Yeah.
Right, Jacoby Long had a great year. Gage Zilla's first team, all ACC. It didn't matter. The team still sucks. And that is because, again, you got to build that 1-9 and you got to build the entire rotation. And that is a lot of work. And JD's got his work cut out.
JD is going to have to make some tough decisions. I think that, you know, he was shielded these past 21 seasons from having to make a lot of those tough decisions, because yes, it was his pitching staff, but you know, let's be honest, right? You had three and you had Gino making a lot of decisions. And even then, right? Like, you still saw some incredible pitching staffs while he was here. So, you know, the question is, does he have it in him to make those really tough decisions that he's going to have to make, moving forward for this roster to be where it needs to be, And when I say that, you know, the perfect example is that FSU team, right? I hate to use them as an example, but this is exactly the road that we're taking, right? We were pretty bad. We didn't make the postseason. Now we're cleaning house and building it all up through the transfer portal again. I think that there's a lot of things that he needs to do to change how this program is run and how they perform next year. And it starts with making sure that you've got the players in place. And look, you know, at the beginning of the season, we talked about how, you know, they'll figure it out, man. They're young. You know, it looks like it's a pretty good team that can go ahead and do some damage, right? They were scoring runs at a stupid pace, excuse me. You know, they were hitting home runs like crazy, and then all of a sudden the bottom fell out, and we couldn't pitch there for a little while, and then now we could pitch a lot, and their hitting wasn't terrible, but it just wasn't making, you know, getting those timely hits, the clutch hits, you know, putting together a couple innings of four or five
runs. And we actually talked about this at the beginning of the year when it was going well. Again, this is two of the teams in the ACC that are in the Super Regionals hosting this weekend lost series to Miami, Virginia, and North Carolina. But even when that was happening, we were like, look, this, you know, Mark-like magic is fun. You cannot be every game because eventually it's going to bottom out, and that's what happened. The other thing is, and we noticed this certainly during the UF series, for whatever reason, you mentioned the home runs. The wind was just carrying. It was like, I don't know if it was El Nino or whatever, but the first like quarter of the season, everything was gusting out, and it was a home run derby for both teams. But again, for us, which is limited pitching wise, you know, that is to your advantage to get into these. And as you said, once things kind of settle down to get into the meat of ACC play, you're going on the road more. That disappeared.
I think it was La Nina this year, actually. It's not El Nino.
I have no idea what it was, but the ball was carrying like to insane levels at the beginning of the year.
I'm using a back scratcher, by the way, guys.
I noticed. I wasn't going to call it out. You know, this is also an audio podcast. We could have gotten away with that, Jess.
I'm using a back scratcher. Let me see. Can I make the noise? Where's my mic?
Well, that's brutal. So, I mean, like you said, once the home runs dried up, we kind of, everything else did too.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. I mean, now look, let's kind of go down the line a little bit on some of these players that, you know, we did realize, you know,
I mean, this is a good question as a transition. Yeah. I think we expected to, I mean, look, it's Miami and we expectations of Omaha. That was nonsense this year. We knew that wasn't, but I did expect them to be over 500 in conference and be a regional team.
Right. Yeah.
And they were one of the worst teams in the country. So barely made the ACC tournament. I know they won. They won a couple of games there and, you know, gave it a ride, and they were in it. Made you feel a little bit better at the as a whole, because you saw them win a couple of games. They were awful. We lost the series to Pitt the weekend before.
Right. I think that's a good assessment, William. I think that's a good assessment. I think, you kind of hit it on the head there, for sure. So let's kind of talk a little bit about some of the players that have gone. Now, let's go with the position guys first. At shortstop, which was always an interesting one to me, was the J.D. Urso thing. You know, high expectations from a guy coming in, you know, played under his father for some while, led Division II in doubles, right? Guy that come in with that experience, with that kind of play, you know, that kind of talent play. Look, the University of Tampa is one of the best teams in college baseball for Division II for years and years and years and years and years. So, you know, playing for that historic team and the historic coach, his father was a that's over there. You kind of, at first I was like, all right, I like this, right? But then I'm like, what's going on? It was just kind of odd to me at the end of the day. And then, you know, he just couldn't put it all together. Then you got to play first base because our first baseman got hurt and our catcher got hurt. So you had to move so many things around. And, you know, it was just like, not a great fit here in Miami anyways, so not surprised to see J.D. Urso go.
Yeah, and I was honestly, the surprise to me was I didn't realize he had eligibility left. So he's I thought he was a senior. So, yeah, no, that was kind of the only surprising thing. I thought he was kind of done. I mean, this is, again, we started this conversation by saying, you know, we need to upgrade for most of these players anyway. And he was useful from the standpoint that he could play short and first base.
Sure.
And, you know, we were a team that lacked depth, so he certainly
And we appreciate helped. That.
So
he actually got hot a little bit towards the end of the season, right?
I mean, he was an illegal bat, but
yeah.
Once they found out his bat was juiced or whatever, and he got called out for using an illegal bat. The power.
I don't know
stop,
what you're talking about, man.
Power stop. But no, I don't think actually it was something about like the sticker on there. It wasn't the bat itself was fine, and it was kind of a bullshit that they called him out. But anyway, it was not why he hit those home runs. But just to be clear, I'm joking. Don't like say I accused him of like cheating because he was not doing that. No, they didn't even get thrown out of the game. Yeah, no, he stepped up and did what this team needed to do. So we're thankful for that. But this is, again, this is one where you're like, we need to upgrade that position at shortstop, which was his primary position. And, you know, he was not going to be the first baseman next year. So.
And I still feel like we need to upgrade that position because, let's be honest, I just don't think Antonio Jimenez is the guy, you know.
No, and again, this is one where, you know, you get a freshman, you're trying to rely on him, and it just didn't go well. And I didn't see the potential. I mean, he didn't – I don't know. We'll see.
Anyways, yeah. A little, just
that's a position.
A little too much. A little too much cockiness for my.
I'll say the two returning, and we're still not sure if Villegas is coming back. He technically can, but the two returning players were like we're good to go. Is Dorian at second base and Kube at third. Everything else. I don't care if you're back or not. Yeah. Yeah. Or even if they're back, like you said, Jimenez is back, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
I can see it, right? So obviously another guy that left, Jason Torres, which initially was a bit of a surprise because he's hurt. Like, what is he going to do? Why would he leave after having such a solid season, one of the best hitters in the ACC? But nothing surprises me anymore. There's another guy that may want to restart somewhere else. And as someone mentioned in the chat earlier, I don't remember who it was, the culture needs to change a little bit. And if it means getting rid of some of these guys that could potentially come in and be really good players for this program next year, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. I'm all right with that. You know, another guy that obviously Jacoby Long graduates. He will probably get drafted just based off of this season alone. Your right field is kind of crazy. Costello graduates. Another guy that may turn pro or do whatever he wants to do. But a big disappointment in the transfer there for out of Wake Forest. Lorenzo Carrier is another kid that I can probably see maybe getting a fresh start somewhere else. He hasn't entered yet, but he might. He might enter as well. Unfortunately, didn't live up to the potential and the hype and the projection.
He's someone that got better towards
he did. He
the
did,
end
but
of last year. I do think, and this is, we talked about the attitude of the team. This is JD's management didn't do him favors. Like, absolutely. If you're one of the better, he was one of the better hitters on the team and constantly getting pinch hit for lefties that are inadequate is not good for your growth as a player. Exactly what CCH said. And so, like, I know Kulikowski hit that homer against Clemson and ended up being the winning run. That was a fluke. Right. The number of times we pulled Carrier, who is, threat to go deep and, again, became a much more complete hitter this year to allow Kulikowski to strike out or pop out or just because he's left-handed, like, that is part of the adjustment JD needs to make in terms of, look, you got to trust your talent. Right. And so I don't think that did Carrier any favors as well, constantly getting pulled out of games because there's a righty on the mound and we need a lefty and we didn't need – it's like we had a good lefty option. So, yeah, I think I think he could probably use a change of scenery. I would take him back.
But I don't know. Who, Carrier?
Yep.
Yeah, so would I.
But I don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah. As you mentioned, Villegas, who knows what he's going to do yet. Gabby Gutierrez finally graduates, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he boarded last year and came back.
Yeah. yes, William, exactly. The constant lefty-righty crap and shifts were a big, big issue. I agree, and I think Vish did well. I don't know how many times we texted each other when he would do that, when he would pull the pinch hit, or even
but again, the lefty righty stuff also was because we don't have depth. If you build a better, and this is where we're talking about, and we actually talked about this when the Duke game imploded, and we were like, should he have pulled Robert or not? And at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? we don't have shit anyway. Like, there's not good answers here. We got like 1.5 pitchers, and we're trying to win 4 games in a row. It's like, eventually you're gonna roll the dice, and it's gonna come up snake eyes in your butt. Like, I mean, that's just the reality of it, right? And I think that's where the lefty righty stuff got really frustrating. It's like, look, if you have a guy on the mound that's going well, just leave him in. Like, because we don't have any reliable arms. So going to the lefty, you're just asking, you're rolling the dice again, asking to get it imploded. And so I think that was kind of the frustrating there. Same thing at the plate, right? It was okay. We have a handful of guys you can actually trust to swing the bat. If one of them's up, I don't care if the pitcher is righty or lefty, just let them hit.
Speaking of the plate, AJ Goitia also.
So we have no catchers on the scene.
We have 0 catchers right now. I mean, I know we've got a stud coming in. I think it's Nolan Johnson, if I'm not mistaken.
We're probably going to need one more.
He's a freshman. We need another guy.
He's a freshman, and you're going to need depth. So, there's literally no catchers. So, because Scanlon and Carlito are gone.
Gavin Gutierrez, I'd probably tell him to, maybe have an opportunity somewhere else.
I think it's probably similar to last year. If we don't fill the roster out, we need to any people. So
we need some guys, obviously, on the mound. That's been the biggest question mark. Like, who's going to replace all these guys? Chris Diaz entered the transfer portal.
He's the one who I actually had some hope for.
Well, I had hope for Julian Hernandez also. That was kind of a head scratcher. We didn't see him the rest of the season, but for obvious reasons, I guess, right at this point. Eric Fernandez is a guy that I had high hopes for. I thought he would be a much better player, and he obviously in the transfer portal, the infielder. Who else have we got in the portal right now? Am I missing someone?
I think that might be it. Oh, Chris Cinto.
Chris Cinto.
He's another one that, again, he got action as the lefty, bullpen option that is not, Again, we need better quality, period. And so I don't know how Jay's going to address that, because it's not easy. I mean, you mentioned Lucas Costello. This was a guy who started on the number one team in the country last year.
In the national championship game.
Yeah, and he couldn't. Well, I think they lost in the – they didn't – no, because the championship game was LSU, Florida, right? But whatever, in Omaha. And couldn't do shit here.
Yeah.
And, that's the crap shit support. So, like you said, everyone needs to – look, JD's got a lot of scouting and evaluation to do, and he's got to get it right. He cannot have a bunch of Lucas Costello situations this year.
Right. Jackie Daytona says, who don't we have in the portal is a better question. At this point, we're still kind of waiting. It's a wait-and-see approach right now. But I think that Dorian is not in the portal. Cuve is not in the portal. Antonio Jimenez is not.
Yeah, and
Luca Reyes is not in the portal.
Kulikowski isn't.
Kulikowski isn't in the portal.
I mean, he showed some – I mean, we got to hope for a leap in performance from him. He is good enough to play at Miami. We gotta.
Who's that?
Kulikowski.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't like how much we used him last year in terms of I don't think he earned all of his at bats. I think he was getting them because he's left-handed, which frustrated me. But no, he's got some potential.
I guess CCH says Luca Reyes is entering the portal also. Yeah, There's a lot of people. Renzo coming back from injury. I don't think he's leaving. He's going anywhere. But, look, he would have been a very serviceable guy to have at first base. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, I saw the man.
It's what's good. Up, Doom?
And also, Jackie Daytona is my guy, Brad, who we tailgated together a bunch and met up a bunch of times. Went to the Kentucky basketball game together. So shout out to him.
I like Jackie Daytona. That's a cool name.
Well, it's not actually. I just use his real name. I use his government on the stream. Oh no, his
government name.
But we, So I mean, look, we're gonna need 1 to 2 players at basically every position, either as a freshman or through the portal, and we need to hit on a majority of them.
Right.
And they need to be ready to play this year. And but that, it can have been that done. Yes. Yeah, and that doesn't get into to the pitching.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It should be
thoughts on blah, blah, blah. I think that's what happens when you lose your coach, which we did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are, that was Gino's class.
What my gum name is. I'm trying to pull up here. A couple of names that I know a lot of people are talking about. Gavin Killen, I believe his name is, a shortstop from Louisville, a big time prospect that enter the portal, but there's some big time schools that, you know, that I think we need to keep an eye on for, you know, some of the, and again, there's some smaller schools, right? I mean, you've got players from all over the place, man. Garrett Staten or Staten.
I mean, the D1 baseball page has like thousands of players in the portal.
Yeah,
so
yeah, there's if I meet some guys, you won't know who the, you know, people won't know who they are. Cale Frost, you know, I mean, the Harrison Bodendorf. These are all smaller school guys that, you know, have the numbers. They look like D1 guys. They play like D1 guys, and they're playing D2, D3. So, I think that we just got to have to wait and see, because I can name there's what, over 3,000 or 4,000 players in the portal already in baseball. And I mean, we're still playing. So take your pick.
Yeah, no, there's going to be a lot of new faces, obviously. So I do think the harder thing to rebuild is going to be the pitching staff, because it's easier to get position players to fill a role. I mean, we need top end pitching.
Chris is asking her answer, why is Jason Torres earlier? Okay. Yeah, why is Jason Torres entering the portal? We mentioned earlier, the best answer for you is I don't know. You know, they all have their reasons, whether it's NIL money, whether it's change of scenery, whether it's you know, not getting along with the coach. I mean, there's a lot of different things that could happen. You know, maybe he wants to take his talents to a school that's going to be able to win right away and compete for national titles right away. I don't think Miami's there. I don't know if they'll be there next year either. So I think he wants more of a sure thing, and maybe that's why. You know, same thing with Blake Sear, change of scenery. Maybe he wants to compete for a title. But look, I'll tell you this about Blake Sear, right? And as much as it hurts to see him go, you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, he was an All-American. Well, he's a freshman All-American on a freshman All-American team, not a NCAA All-American. Number one. Number two, very talented. Very, very, very talented kid. Now, if that kid was really good at playing shortstop or second base, then I think it hurt more than losing an outfielder that could hit 14, 15, you know, 20 home runs, you know, and driving 50 runs. You know, I think that those are – there's more of those out there than there are shortstop or second basemans that are going to come in and put up those numbers. But the fact of the matter is that the reason why Dorian Gonzalez was playing second base was because Dorian Gonzalez was the better second baseman. It's got nothing to do with anything else, and I don't think that's the reason why he's leaving. I think that the reason why he's leaving is as you mentioned, Vish, you know, personal reasons, you know, whatever the case is, change of scenery. But
yeah, again, it's hard to and I know people, you know, watching the show clearly fans of the baseball team, so they might have played and experienced it. But
this is not a knock on him either. I think he's
no. Great. This was shit, like real shit. Yeah. Like I think, you know, we've been going to life for years. Like it was the toxicity and just how dead everyone felt.
Yeah.
Like I can imagine being on the field and being like, I got to get out of this place. Like, it was that bad. And I think if you went out to the light this year and saw some of these games.
If he goes to Florida or Florida State, then he's
yeah, no, there. Yeah. So good luck to him and Torres and everyone else who transferred unless they go to.
Yeah. Like Alex Terrell, you're dead to me, dude. You know, like
he still tries to come back. He plays the alumni game. Like, what is
speaking of toxic behavior? That's toxic behavior on JD's half. Like, I don't let that kid come back.
Well, and play. So hold on. So I will say this. In his defense, I think he wanted to come back. And we threw him out, so he had to go somewhere. Now, did he have to go to Florida State? I don't know. It's hard to land spots when they're
sucked, anyways. Well, that's neither here nor there.
No, I know. You had an opinion on him, but no, I don't think he had the option to come. I think he wanted to play his senior year here, and he did not have that option.
Yeah.
And yeah, he went to Florida State and did what he did here, which is occasionally hit the longest home run you've ever seen. And other than that, do nothing at all. But
let's strike out the other three times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that I'll defend him a little bit in that I don't think he like had the option to come back.
Right.
That was when we cleared that whole team out. Well, not just Capus. Right. That definitely Capus took his spot. Terrell would have
100%.
Terrell would have had the DH, but you recall that we ran off that entire team. Yeah, it was him. Remember Raymond Gill,
Davison kid, that was
Jordan Lala. Yeah, all those guys got run off. So I think it was kind of like we're cleaning.
Where are they now? I wonder where Jordan Lala ended up. And Raymond Gill, didn't he go to
Florida? Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
But yeah, no, I mean they all we basically just said we got a clean house and kind of just did. So I'll defend trial a little bit there, and that's like they're like you have the option to come back. It's like no, I'm going to FSU. But
well, here's the thing, right? We cleared house, and then we still ended up being, you know, a 6 seed nationally or a 9 seed nationally.
Yeah, no, it worked. We were a much better team the next year, so maybe we'll get something similar this time.
Yeah, we'll see. But
we do need like 6 or 7 pitchers. Seriously,
that's the most important
because thing. I know you said you didn't see anything from Vargas or Oliveira. What we did see was not good,
especially from Oliveira. I know Vargas was hurt a little bit, but Oliveira, you know, 93, 94, you see some life on it, but he just served him up. He didn't know, you know, how to hit his spots, and he saw it, man. He saw it, and it was not good. It was Lala, yeah. So Lala ended up at Tampa. I got you.
Yeah, the only you got Caba and you got Robert.
Oh, that's another one. Caba entered the portal as well. Or he's about to be retiring, I think.
Well, that's a rumor. I don't think that's actually for sure thing.
Yeah, but I think he is entering the portal. Crowther is entering the portal as well.
Crowther entered the portal, but Crowther's.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Wasn't great.
I don't think Caba didn't enter the portal. I think there's rumors he might retire for medical reasons.
Okay.
So he's not.
So he's still kind of up in the air to see if he sticks around.
Yeah, and then
it'd be great to have him back, right?
Yeah, him and Nick Robert are the only. Assuming you know Brian Walters, poor kid, got injured again. I don't know if he's healthy. Then those are three arms.
And at this point, it's nerve damage, from what I get.
Yeah, no, I don't know that he's going to pitch again. But if he does, if he comes back and he's able to pitch at his level, then it's him. It's Nick Robert, and it's Caba. As the only arms you'd really want out of that bullpen, actually pitching meaningful. So yeah, we need 4 starters, probably a closer and a couple of bullpen arms.
Yeah. What do you say to the people like what Chris just wrote? I think that a lot of people have that question as well. You know, I hope JD can turn it around next season, but I'm worried. Wish we would have hired from the outside better. I know a lot of people wanted that. A lot of people wanted the Canes to go outside and hire somebody else. And I know there was always talks that a guy like Chris Pollard was rumored to look at this. The pitching coach from Wake Forest also, I can't remember his name now. You know, a lot of different options that were out there. But at the end of the day, they settled for JD. And I kind of defended JD. You did too, Vish, on you know, just based off of experience here, what he's done. And so now at this point, you gotta eat the crow, or you gotta, you know, still, you know, make a change. But I think that they're gonna go back with JD and.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of the assistants are gone.
That's
the
biggest thing. Yeah,
we've talked a lot about, you know, there needs to be a talent upgrade, and obviously there just needs to be warm bodies as well at this point. But I think without like being there every day in practice, obviously, I think we did a pretty awful job coaching this team this year from a fundamental standpoint. A lot of unproductive outs, a lot of sending runners. There's no way they were going to score. You know, I don't know that. I mean, this is so anecdotal, but, you know, when we do mound visits, they didn't seem to really help. And that's actually one thing that JD, when he was the pitching coach, you know, used to settle guys down and do. If you look at before and after a mound visit, you kind of see them resettle a little bit. And we didn't see any of that this year. And I think, you know, time will tell where this tenure ends up. Like, frankly, if they wanted to fire him off of this year, they would be justified in doing it. That's obviously not happening. They would have already done it. But, you know, the performance was that bad. And I do think the argument for JD as a continuity candidate from Gino, who was the continuity candidate from Jim Morris, is this is a team that Gino's last 2 years, as you mentioned, finished. I think it was fifth or sixth, was a national seed. Next year was ninth, one spot outside the national seed. Now, we knew we lost a lot, but, you know, you figure, okay, continuity. Like, we didn't have a problem here. Now we do.
Now we do.
And that's kind of the irony of it. The reason you go for the continuity candidate, like, the worst thing you can do is take something that's working and introduce a problem where none exists.
Right.
And we had two really good seasons where we flamed out at home in the postseason, which is disappointing. But you sign up for home regionals and national seeds whenever you get them. And then, you know, you'll have a lot of success doing that. We didn't, but if you keep doing that, you will. So, and one of the arguments for JD was that he's going to keep this train that's running pretty well down the track. He's going to keep it going. And he immediately derailed. And so, yeah, now he's got to rebuild and kind of a restructure, as Kane's Cats, he mentioned, you know, redo the culture, all the stuff that the reason for hiring him is, well, we don't want to have to do all that. Things are going relatively well.
Exactly.
So it's kind of funny, but yeah, no, he's got to. Yeah. And I think this is it. I think if we don't make the tournament next year, he's going to have to go.
Yep. I agree.
And keeping in mind, like, look, there's three new teams coming in. Stanford's really the only one that's good at baseball out of those three. But, like, you know, we snuck into the ACC tournament this year. They're not expanding the tournament. More teams are going to miss it. We got to win. We got to play better.
We sure do.
You inserted those three teams into the ACC this year, we probably would have missed the tournament. So, and we clinched it out at the end. So, out of the teams coming in, Stanford is the only baseball school, dude. Sorry, just wrong.
Really quick, Chris also asked, well, what do you guys know about the new addition, Marsh from Penn State? Yeah, we spoke about him a little bit earlier, but I think that's a solid addition, right? Hit over 300 over at Penn State. I think it was 309, or I might be getting mixed up. Maybe hit 331, something along those lines. But a solid outfielder / first baseman. He can play a little bit of both. You know, which is nice. No, we need both positions. So if he's going to come in, although you're going to expect a guy who plays for space to have a little more, you know, a little more pop, right? Driving some more runs. So he may be a guy that's going to come in and play the outfield. He's played a ton of the outfield. He started a lot for Penn State. So I think he's a great addition. It's a guy that could come in and be a starter day one. For sure.
Yeah, and he hit 309, six homers, 47 RBI. So solid bat. And again, we need starters. He appears to be, again, you don't know till you know, because we certainly thought, you know, Costello was as close to a sure thing as you get, given that same conference. Like, he doesn't have to adjust to the, and it didn't work. But yeah, this should be, he's definitely here to start. Right. And again, we have to fill out most of the roster. So that could be in the outfield. It could be at first base.
I don't know who Lou Brown is. Who's Lou Brown?
I'm pretty sure that is a major league reference. Mm.
It is Jackie Daytona we're talking about here.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that's Major League. That's the manager for Major
League. Oh, yeah, it is. Lou Brown. You're right. I'll take him. Go with Lou Brown all day, you know, as long as we can have the drum in the outfield. Not the first career home run. Was first career hit was a double off us. Yes.
I did. Yeah. I did see him driving a bunch of runs for FGCU against us this year.
Yeah, he did. Went back to school and did well. Yeah, it's funny the way things work like that sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We're gonna have to roll the. We're gonna have to, you know.
There he is, Miami Flow Max, as they call him. CJ Cavis,
debut.
I'm telling you, man. Did I nail him or what, Vish? Did I say it from the get go? I said this kid. First of all, this kid's gonna take Toral's position. He's a better player than him all around. Period. And he's going to be a stud. And look at him go. And I just had a good feeling about CJ Cephas. And the kid's just – he just knows what he's doing, man. He's a baseball player. He's not flashy. He doesn't wear the wristbands and all this crazy nonsense. You know, he's a guy who puts on his glove, goes out there, plays great defense, and now, you know, is going to, you know, hit really well at the next level. I don't know if he's going to be the home run hitter that Joey Votto was. But I think that he's going to be able to hit some out. He's going to drive in some runs and hit for average. So the guy is an all around really good baseball player, and I could see a guy like that having a long career in the pros. So good for him, man. Shout out to CJ Cephas. Rosario's another one who's dominating, who got moved.
He's one we both were like, this kid is gonna when they teach him how to pitch correctly, he's gonna be a stud. And it's unfortunate we can never get that here. I know. But when you watched him pitch, you're like, holy bleep. And then he get hit because, again, he just need to learn how to pitch, and they're teaching him that. And he might have, out of all the guys that, you know, went pro last year, he probably has the most upside.
Yeah. He needed to learn a really good secondary pitch, and now he's got a really good slider.
Yeah, and we didn't teach him. No, we failed. We failed there.
Yeah, when you're throwing your slider 90 miles an hour and your fastball 96 to 98, yeah, man, you learn how to pitch, like you said, Vish. Now look at him. So good for him. Another kid, Andrew Walter, is obviously kicking ass for Cleveland. He's in AAA right now, also. So I think that I don't know who it was.
I mean, he got promoted, so
yeah. So.
Not so. Slade Ciccone got called up to the D-backs and has been starting for them too.
He was on there. He was on the team last year too.
Yeah. I think he bounced back and forth a little, but he's been starting. He's been doing really well too.
Who's that? Calayo, ADC.
Yeah.
He's another big time prospect that's kind of moved up. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Palmquist, who was his pitching coach? Jack. Who was Carson Palmquist's pitching coach? Who was Andrew Walter's pitching coach?
Gino DeMari.
Who was Slade Ciccone's pitching coach? Huh?
Anyways, yeah, I mean, I think that is an option. I think we need another option so that he's not forced to start. If he improves and earns a job,
I think he does. He's got projectability, right? Like, I can see him. He's got all the right tools. He's a little too flashy for me right now, especially when you're hitting under the Mendoza line, you know? He's just a little too animated for me, right? Like, you need to calm down, man. To me, there's one thing, and this is a perfect example. I can't stand the guy, but he's a stud and he knows what he's doing. But there's a difference between a Cam Cannarella, right, and an Antonio Jimenez. Like, Cam Cannarella, you know, he's a little cocky, he's a little arrogant, kind of stares down at you, but he doesn't do all the. And you'll understand me too, Vish, but. My Hispanic brethren will get it. He doesn't have all the monerías and the muecas and everything. You know, he's like, you know, with the rings and the sleeves and the doing this and looking at you and squatting. You mean
like Villegas wearing sunglasses, like he's about to hit the slopes.
That's another. Yeah. Well, they're all doing that now, but like, yeah, going at doing all this crap and you know, at every single pitch. And it's like, calm down, dude. Like, get in the box, right? Go through your little routine. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be this animated. Like, if you're Charlie Chaplin, and like, calm down. Like, get up there, do your little thing, okay? And focus on what you're doing at the plate, as opposed to try to intimidate everybody or try to get everybody else off of their game. Because at the end of the day, you're hurting yourself. You're the one that's getting off your, you know, you're taking your mind off of what's more important. Focus on your damn at bat. Go up there and execute, right? Yeah, you got that pitch and you hit a home run, and that's great, right? That built some momentum. That was nice. But you got to be consistent. You can't hit .186 and think that you're all world, dude. Like, you got to go up there and you got to quit all the shenanigans. Go up there with a little bit more of a focused mindset. And I think he could be a good ball player, right? You see his actions at shortstop. He makes some incredible. He's like Ray Ordonez. Like, he makes the impossible plays look really good. And then there's a little roller back at him that he has a hard time with. Like, he's that kind of guy right now at shortstop. Settle down. Focus a little bit more. Deja la monería en la casa. And come out to play baseball. And that's it, bro. And I think that if he does that, I think he could be a solid baseball player. But right now, you need to get a shortstop in the portal also. I know they're bringing that guy, Arizaguirre, whatever his last name is, that's supposedly pretty good, a pretty good shortstop. But you need a guy to, from the portal, a guy like Killen or Kylan, whatever you want to call him, the kid out of Louisville. That's another good question that Max brings up. He's a switch hitter. Why didn't he hit left-handed? You know, I don't understand. Don't try to limit a kid. If the kid's gonna be more comfortable hitting from the left side, let him try to do it and see what happens. We'll see. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered. Yes. By the way, Jackie, I know some dudes are just like that and they play the best that way, but he wasn't playing the best that way. He was hitting .186.
It's the turnover chain, right? When you're pick six,
there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys that say, "Hold on, let me kind of, you know, refocus, take a step back, and say, all right, I got to do some things different. I got to, you know, stop doing some other things that maybe are taking away from my focus of the game." And that might be one of them. You know, I mean, some guys thrive off of it. He's not thriving off of it. You know, sometimes you need to make that adjustment. That's what. Bottom line. Yeah. What were you saying, Vish? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's like the turnover chain. It's good when you're smoking Notre Dame. It's bad when you're down 30 to Alabama and pulling this fucking jewelry. I'm like an idiot.
Yeah. Exactly.
Same action, but, you know, the result matters. So
it's baseball.
Yeah, I mean, we do have, again, we have a really strong recruiting class, but, you know, we'll see who ends up on campus.
Yeah. Let's talk about what's we got coming up now. Shout out to Daniel Covey, who made the USA team, USA team, at least on a training basis, to see if he makes the official team that goes and plays some meaningful games out there. But really good for him. I know that there's going to be a lot of talk within the next couple of weeks. Look, there's still some teams that haven't been eliminated yet that are going to have some transfers. Another big name that transferred was that put himself in the transfer portal is Cruson, the kid Cruson from Duke, the freshman outfielder who had a solid season as well. So that's a big name. There's a kid out there, Matt Lepore, I think his name is, freshman kid. He's 6'4", 230, you know, 93 to 94 as a freshman. So there's a lot of big prospects out there that are from smaller schools. Some catchers, we need some catchers big time. I know there's a couple catchers that Miami's looking at, so there's a lot of questions to be answered. JD's got this is going to be his toughest recruiting job yet, toughest recruiting season, toughest job as a coach. Period. Because if he doesn't get it done, he's going to be out the door. So yep. He's stay here, JD, to answer them and show what he's made of as a head man.
I would start with the assistant coaches, to be honest, but
Let's see what happens. We'll keep you guys updated on what's going on.
I think obviously it's off season now for us, but you know, when there's news, we will do shows. So maybe next week we'll see. I'm assuming.
we'll see if there's some more commits. We'll definitely bring it.
That's kind of what we're looking at and see if there, if it's, you know, if there's no more, no one else in the portal significance, no really
right
players coming
you
in.
You can always follow up on Twitter on Kings on Deck. I'll try to be as up to date as possible with the transfer portal guys, and of course, if we get any commits or if there's anybody that's hot on the trail out there, it looks like they may pull the trigger and commit to Miami. So, a lot of things going on still when it comes to college baseball, and of course, as more teams get eliminated, more players will probably hit the portal as well. So,
yeah, a lot more going to go in before people start signing with us. So no one needs to panic.
Still early. So keep it locked. Make sure you follow us at Canes on Deck. Subscribe to the at Five Reasons Canes podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Give us a like. And we'll be on, you know.
In the near future.
Yeah, we'll let you guys know when we're coming back on. And we'll keep talking about some baseball. But thank you to everybody that's been tuning in. And hopefully we'll have some good info for you soon coming up. Anyways, have a good night, and we'll talk soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.